Gemara's on the mission, the Chazayim base. So, lo yatsa. So it depends, I mean, and the Rosh is Medayik from Rashi. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, yes, yeah, so, lo yatsa. Rashi not the mission, so Rashi not the Gemara. So Gemara says, Amar Avuna lo shana lo sim hom de malsfasa bor. That's the only ones that have a problem. Aval osan omdim babor is yatsa. The ones that are in the pit are yatsa. There are just three cases of the same phenomenon. One is a pit, and one is a cave, and one is like a barrel. Okay, man-made kli. But it's the same for the same problem. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rav Huna says that the only problem is for the people that are outside the bor. But anybody that's inside the bor is yotze. Why? Shehein kol hashofar la'olam sham. So the Rosh is medayik from Rashi. A careful observance of his lashon indicates that the ones in the pit, he says, always hear the kol shofar. So the implication is that the ones on the outside, sometimes they hear the kol shofar, sometimes they don't, and that's the mashmayus of the Mishnah, that the ones on the outside is not on the outside is always no good, but im kol shofar shama yatsa, im kol avar shama lo yatsa. So Rashi holds he has to estimate. The person has to estimate. Did I hear the kol shofar? I'm yotze. Did I hear the kol of the echo? Then I'm not yotze. Okay, but in the pit, you don't have to estimate, because in the pit, you always hear the kol shofar. Okay? That's how Rashi learns. And Rashi is very sharp in his deal, because he says, Shehin kol shofar la'olam shamo. La'olam? So it means that it's always that way. But if you're on the outside, and that's, then sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. So it's totally, you have to make an evaluation. Okay? That's the way Rashi learns. Okay. Yeah. Plain shot is, that if it's like a speaker with a PA system, okay? So if you're close to the speaker, you can hear the speaker. But if you're in the back, you can't hear it, because the amplification overpowers the speaker. So in the bore, so then you're close. So therefore, you could always hear the initial call. But if you're outside, then the amplification overpowers the initial sound. So therefore, I mean, Rashi doesn't say it's impossible, but he says Rashi also has to be mafchin. That if he can hear it, fine. If he can't, then he's not yes. But in the bor, since he could always hear the initial sound, I mean, that's how the Rosh goes into this. That's how the Rosh seems to learn. In the bar, since you always get initial sound, so then you're always going to be outside. Aye, there's an amplification in the background. Yeah, but as long as you get initial sound, that doesn't matter. I mean, the Machlokes Rashi and the Rosh. Machlokes Rashi and the Rosh. According to Rashi, if he's outside the bar, so he still has a right to differentiate and say, I heard the call of the shofar. According to the Rosh, he can't differentiate. So apparently, according to the Rosh, the moment you have the echo, the sound has one shame. It's one entity. And therefore, according to the Rosh, he can't say, I heard, even if he thinks he heard the kol shofar, it's no good. Because the kol shofar becomes amplified and becomes involved in a greater entity of sound. So the Rosh requires that the kol shofar has its own distinct sound. And you can't pick it out from, once it becomes involved, in other words, Havara is amplification. And amplification merges with the original sound. And it has a shame of one sound. Let's just go outside first. That's the machlokes, the Rosh and Rashi. According to Rashi, even though you have amplification, but if you can isolate the sound of the shofar, so you'll be yotze. Because the amplification is a separate sound. So you can isolate the sound of the shofar from Biyotze. According to the Rosh holds you absolutely can't do it. Why? Because the Rosh Chosen, once you have sound that's amplified, it has a din of one sound. So you can't separate it out in your mind. But that's the entity. The entity is an entity of amplification, an amplified entity. An amplified entity, you can't pick out the isolate your original sound. Whereas Rashi holds no, that he could be mafkin. That's definitely machlekes Rashi in the Rush. It's not a machlekes metzias. The Rush doesn't talk about it. Not a machlekes metzias. But that's the question. That's an interesting machlekes. Oh, so according to Rush, maybe it's like this. Well, inside the bore is different. Why is inside the bore different? Because inside the bore, you can't say the amplified sound merges with the original sound. Because the amplification takes place after the sound reaches you. See, when do I say that there's an amplified... When do I say you can't separate an original sound from the amplification? When the sound, the origin of the sound and its amplification reach you simultaneously. So then you can't say that I'm going to isolate the original sound. But in the bore, it's pre-amplification. Because when you heard that sound, there wasn't amplification yet. So now when you hear the reverberations of the amplification, that definitely is a secondary sound, and that definitely can isolate and say, I'm not listening to that sound. But if you're outside the bore, so then it's a phenomenon of an amplified sound for you. If you're inside the bore, it's not a phenomenon of an amplified sound for you. It's a sound that's going to become amplified after it reaches you, and now you're hearing later reverberations of amplification. So that definitely, the Rush holds, is considered a secondary kind of sound. So that one, you can discount that one, disregard that one, you see. But if you're outside, that's the nature of amplification. So then you can't isolate your original sound from the amplification. Because that's the definition of amplification of sound. So it's all one sound. Good? In other words, the Rush introduces a halachic element over here. Because why is it... See, Rashi doesn't help you in terms of the halachic element, because Rashi just tells you if you could be mafchen. So it's a matter of you being mafchen. But the Rush says that outside the bore, it's not going to help you at all. Forget it. Okay? Why? The Metzias is, he's not going to argue with Rashi and Metzias. Give him mafchen. The answer is because he maintains it doesn't make any difference if you give him mafchen. Because once you have the amplification process, that's considered an amplification of sound, and it's one unit. So therefore, I don't care if you're listening to part of it. The sound is no good. There's an amplified sound. That's no good. You're listening to part of a sound. Part of a sound is not a shofar. Okay? So the Rush really introduces a halachic element over here that we could deal with. You see? So now we could understand inside the bore also. Because inside the bore is before the amplification process takes place. Because the amplification process requires the walls of the bore in order to echo off the sound. So that's only when you're outside you have this whole process. But when you're inside, you're pre-process. So therefore, even though there's going to be, you might be inside and you're going to hear, like the problems I had before, you're going to hear these echoing sounds, but that the Rush doesn't care about. That he also can definitely isolate. But if you're outside, now you're outside the amplification phenomenon. So therefore, it's one sound and you can't isolate your kol shofar. Halachically, you can't do that. But if you're in this situation, according to Rush, it's very good. I mean, it's very technical. Technically, he's right. That if you're inside the mechanism, you're inside the mechanism that's creating the echo. So then you're fine. But for a person outside, that's the amplification process. That's no good, because amplification is mevatel the sound. Now you can't isolate anymore. That's the machlekes Rashi and the Rush. Machlekes Rashi and Rush is amplification. Is amplification of sound considered a whole new sound? Okay, if it's considered a whole new sound, then you can't isolate from a whole sound, a part of the sound, to be yotze. Because that's not what shofar is. Shofar is a complete sound, not a part of a sound. So that's why the Rush doesn't want to be there. Rashi, on the other hand, disagrees. Rashi maintains that the amplification is halachically not considered one sound, never considered one sound with the kol shofar, but the kol shofar always retains its identity no matter what. So therefore, if you can concentrate on the kol shofar, you'll be yasa. That's a Rashi maintained. That's not like it's Rashi in a Rashi. Okay, so the Gemara says, so one member had that Rav Huna just made the statement, he qualified the Mishnah, right? And he said that in the bar yotze, and Tanya Namiyachat Kelakat Tachabala Tachadus is yotze, but not lo yotze, I love Shemamina, Rav Huna, Shemamina. Ika de Ramalu Mirmi. In other words, now that we have the Rush, it could be we will help us to explain Rashi. In other words, like this. That Rashi agrees with the Rush also, that amplification takes place only after the source. If you're in the source, so there's no amplification. But amplification takes place when you're outside the source of amplification. Okay? But Rashi maintains that outside the source, you can isolate. You can isolate. Even though there's amplification, if you can isolate the kol shofar, then you yotze. But it's a process of isolation. What makes it the kol shofar is that your mind isolates it. You see, that renders it the kol shofar. But you require a process of isolation. Whereas in the bor, you don't need a process of isolation. Because in the bor is before the amplification process. You see? What? No, that's you need a mishnah to tell you that. It's off?
Just start it again.
Start again? Okay. Yeah. Maybe just leave it.
Okay.
What? Excuse me? Well, you're going to have to deal with the Mishnah and with the Braisa.
Mishnah
is just a chutzal bar. But apparently the Gemara holds that there's a chiddush inside the bar also. Right? The Braisa, Rav Huna, whatever, but no one's just saying nonsense. So, therefore, you have to explain outside and inside. Right? So, outside, Rashi's saying simply that outside you're going to need a process of isolation because there's amplification. And the Rush maintains once amplification, isolation won't help you. But but inside the bore, Rashi's saying you don't need this isolation process. Because inside the bore, you're pre-amplification. So therefore, you heard it. You don't need it's just like a. Of course, if you listen to the kol avar, every fool knows you're not going to be yotze if you're not listening to kol shofar. But we assume he's listening. He heard kol shofar. But does he have to isolate the kol shofar in order to have a din kol shofar? Does he have to isolate it in his mind, or is it not necessary? So that's according to Rashi. That's what the Mishnah is telling you. That outside the source, you have to isolate it. But inside the bor, if you're in the source, there's no need to isolate it because it hasn't become yet amplified. You're pre-amplification. So as long as you heard, that's it.
That's all I'm shaman.
That's all I'm shaman. That's all I'm shaman. Okay, with the Rush, I mean, the Rush really helped us to do this. Without the Rush, you can never do it. Okay. All right. Okay, good. Very good. Okay. All right, let's go further. Ikad the Ramalo Mirma. Some didn't take Rav Huna's statement on the Mishnah as a qualification, but they took it as a question. Tanana tekel tekbal tekodus lo yotza, vatanya yotza, zestira. Am Rav Huna lekasha, kan lom den losanom masfasabar, kan losanom den babor. Okay, so who cares? I mean, what was the. I might have to recount which way. Rashi makes a point of it. Yesh talmidim shein shon in law the Rav Huna b'inyan lo shonu lefrush masnis. Now the Ramu mirma masnis ubrais adari va'ala koy Rav Huna mashani. Okay, and, you know Rashi makes a point of it. What does the Gemara have to make a point of this for? I mean, take a choice. What?
Same outcome.
Same. There's no difference. This is a small point. But what do you think? I think that's what Allah of Omer Dava B'Shem Amro. It means that when you say something B'Shem Amro, it means you shouldn't take away from the person. Even if you say B'Shem Amro, but if you delete some of his shevach, that's wrong. See, that's wrong. So there's a difference really between the first way and the second way. Of course, in the first way, it shows you Rav Huna had great intuition. Because in the first way, they read the Mishnah, and what did Rav Huna say? No, this Mishnah has to be qualified. And then they brought a riot to him. So you see, his intuition was great. See the greatness of his intuition. He saw a Mishnah, knew right away it has to be this way. And the Brisa corroborates it. You see. And the second way, it's a different kind of it. It's a different kind of a thing. The ability to resolve conflicting memories. It's a different ability. See? It's a different ability. So therefore, the Gemara brings down both. Because you have to, you're mechuyev to be true to the nature of his investigative talents. You see? So one is a resolved astira. That's the, that's one type of a talent, and the other one is he noticed immediately, he spotted immediately, you have to qualify this, and then they brought a proof to him that his intuition was correct. Okay, all right. Shama mitzvah skiya babor or mitzvah skiya al svasabor is yotza. Go ahead. Oh, wasn't is it on now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mitzas. Right. Okay. Now here we get into here Gemara. Simple Gemara, but a lot of abstract points. Go ahead. Yeah, the Rashi. Can I take it off and on or not? What do you think? Doesn't matter. Okay. In other words, the reason why Rashi says that the guy who is blowing walks out and not the guy who's listening was in the bar with him and then he walked out is that would be the verse. Then he heard the first half, then he heard the second half. Because Pashtus, it's a bigger chiddush to say that he's Yotze by hearing the second half. The second half. That's what the Gemara says later. Gemara says, Lameima, the Gemara says that the... Shama softki below tchilas tkiya yatza, or mamela tchilas tkiya below softki yatza. So the bigger chiddush is to tell you that you yatza with softkiya. It's a bigger chiddush. Why? Because if you heard the beginning, so you could say that once you already were involved, it's nimshach after the beginning. But you didn't hear the beginning at all, and now you hear the end. That's an astounding. That demands a definition. That means astounding. That's astounding. It's a bigger chiddush. That's what I want to say. And that's why that case was chosen. It's a bigger chiddush to know that I'm yotze when I hear. If I want to tell you a chiddush about half, it's a bigger chiddush to tell me that you yotze when you hear the second half without the first half, then vice versa. Okay. Case on the same way. Mitzas tkiya kodem shel woman ashachar. That's right. That mean tkiya is lo yotza. Right. Okay. So what does he want to say? What's that? If the listener goes into the bore, you mean if he's there and then the listener walks out? If the listener was outside and then he walked inside, that would be also that would be the same thing. And why didn't he take that case? In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, this is in Amar HaShachar, Kodam Amar HaShachar, Nachar Amar HaShachar, between in the bar and outside the bar, where the one that's blowing the shofar moves from inside the bar to outside the bar, the difference is that Kodam Amar HaShachar, there's no shame tkiya. It doesn't have a shame of it. There's no identity of its tkiya. So therefore, all you have is half a tkiya. So you're lacking in the shear. But in the case of in the bor, it is a shame tkiya. The only thing is that he can't hear the tkiya. But it still is a shame tkiya. So therefore, as long as he hears the latter half of the tkiya, so he's yotze. Okay? Now, see, here's what we're getting to. That's what we're going to have to get into formulation. I mean, that's what I'm saying. This Gemara is very hard in terms of formulation. All right, let's go a little further. We'll see let's get the whole picture. Go ahead. What does he want to say? I said, "Why entertains it as a legitimate possibility?" That Rabba held that all you have to do is hear the latter half of the tkiah. How's that possible? It sounds preposterous. I mean, you have to hear the tkiah. What do you mean the last half of the tkiah? Yes. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But the Gemara assumes that such a thing would be possible. Okay, go ahead. And the reverse also would be good. Because you can say you hear the latter half, say the first half would certainly be good. Okay? Now, it's not really a kolshkin. It's just that sometimes when you say something, if you want to say it in its most pronounced fashion, which would not allow the mind to try to make superficial differentiations, so there's a better case to choose. Doesn't mean it's a kal v'chomer. Not a kal v'chomer. The Gemara is saying it's the same thing, really. But if you would say the first half, it's not as big a chiddush as saying the second half. Okay? Because you could start saying, well, at least he was in the Trilas HaTzkiyah, so whatever. You can see, you know what I mean? The mind, it presents to the mind different possibilities, which aren't true. I mean, it doesn't make any difference, really. But nevertheless, there's such a thing as when you say something, you say it in its most clear, unobstructed fashion. So the clearest way is to say the last half. That's what the Gemara said. So, but it's the same thing. Once you know the last half, you know the first half. It doesn't mean it's not a kal v'chomer, but the Gemara means that it's identical, really. But this is still a better way to present it. Okay. So, but at any rate, that's the halacha. That all you have to do, apparently, the Gemara at this point, all you have to do is hear half a tekiah, which is something that has to be explained. How can the Gemara entertain such a possibility? I mean, the Gemara doesn't know that it's logically not possible, but it would seem to us it's logically not possible. You have to hear a whole tekiah. What do you mean half a tekiah? Okay. I mean, that's a problem we have to explain. Okay? But let's go a little further. What's Gemara saying? Gemara's question is very difficult. Not Gemara's question. Gemara wants to bring a raya. Okay. A raya against this idea that you can hear half a tekiah and be able to say, why? Because if you're going to premise that, so then you're going to have a problem with this, as a Mishnah, right? Yeah. What? You can have a problem with the Mishnah. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, it means it right. The one in between, the tzkiyah in between, okay. Okay. In other words, it says, Mishchaven, to split it.
You have to do two in a row. So you do one long one, and you have
another. Oh, no, two in a row. You do one long one that has a shear of both. So why? So the Gemara says, if you only need to hear half a tekiah, so why can't it be Ola L'shtayim? Right? In other words, if you're going to say you can't hear half a tekiah, so apparently the Gemara is satisfied that you can't, even though it has a shear, but it's still not two tekiahs. But if you're going to say all you have to do is hear half a tekiah, so why over here can you not say that this is Ola L'shtayim? Counts as two? I mean, how does this fit into the... Yeah. What does that have to do with it? It seems like a totally different problem. Well, so the Gemara answers because still one tekiah. Still one tekiah. Then that's what the Gemara seems to answer. Still one tekiah. Yeah, but... I mean, but what's the Hava mean? I mean, well, the Gemara apparently held that this leads you directly into this question. Right? I mean, what's the connection? Right? Okay. Gotcha. The thing is like this. You see, the shofar is unique because there's the Maisa Tzkiya and then there's the Shmiya. You know, and as we mentioned in the Rav and we're playing here, the Shmiya is the Kiyam. The Shmoa called Shofar. Kiyam is in the Shmiya. Okay. The Kiyam is in the Shmiya. But I'll give you a definition. I'll say this is not correct, but I think it's what you're saying. But I don't think it's going to work out, but it's a good logical possibility. Now, the question is like this. The question is the kiyum mitzvasa in other words, there's the kol shofar. You have an entity of a kol shofar, and the kiyum mitzvasa of the kol shofar is in the shmiya. Okay? You have a sound, but the kiyum mitzvasa is not in the sound, it's in the shmiya of the sound. Okay, that right? Now, if you say that, of course, you can't say hef, you're going to be otze. Because the kiyum mitzvasa is in the shmiya. And just like there's a shear for the kol shofar, the same shear is going to apply is going to obtain insofar as the Shmi is concerned. They'll have to be commensurate, right? Because the kiyum mitzvasa of the kol is in shmiyasa. So therefore, it's going to translate directly into the shmiya, right? Okay. But you could say that really the kiyum mitzvasa is the kol shofar. But the shmiya relates you to the kol shofar. That's what you're saying. Okay. That's a logical possibility. That the kiyum mitzvasa is really the chefsa shel kol shofar. And it's not shmiyasa. It's the shmiyos mitzaref you to the chefze shel tkiyah. And your yotze via the tziruf. Okay, it's the tziruf, but the tziruf makes you be yotze what? The chefze shel kol. If you say that formulation, then you could explain why, if you heard mitzasa, you could be yotze. Okay?
And also why you're not yotze.
Then you could. What?
The proper Zman also. And also why you're not Yotze.
And also why you won't be Yotze if it was before the proper Zman. That's correct. Because before the proper Zman, there's no shame kol shofar. So therefore, there's no shear. Because obviously the Gemara is talking in a case where there's no shear. If there's a shear after Amar HaShachar, there's no problem. So it means half of the shear is before Amar HaShachar, half of the shear is after Amar HaShachar. Is after Amar HaShachar. Right. So that's no good. Okay? Right? That is a logical possibility. The only question is, if that's what the Gemara thought, so then what does it have to do with the Gemara's next question? Right? Because the Gemara's next question is that if that's the case, the Gemara says, so then why can't I take that second call? That's supposed to be a siyum for the first Seder and aschola for the next Seder. And why can't I now say it's two? What does that have nothing to do with it whatsoever? Because that's a separate problem why it's not two. For whatever reason it's not two, it's not going to be two now. You know what I mean? You'll say it's not two. Why is it not two? It has two shiurim. The answer is the shiurim are not mafsik. So the shiur is not mafsik. So that's one. So now, if I heard it, all you're saying is that the hearing is a mitzaref to the entity. If the hearing is a mitzaref to the entity, so that's not going to split it up into two, so the Gemara's question is simply doesn't make any sense. Okay? So you see from this that while that's a logical possibility, the Gemara never entertained that possibility. The Gemara never thought that that's a possibility in the conceptual framework of Tkiyas Shofar. That it's the key is the mitzvah, and you need a mitzaref, and the shmi is a mitzaref. That's the one I've entertained a possibility. Okay, why? Because apparently it's against everything that Chazal understood in terms of the key and mitzvah of shofar. That would not be the formulation. Okay, now the question is, so we need another formulation. Okay? We're trying to discover the theoretical structure that would justify the halachic statement, the halachic conclusion that if you hear half of a tkiyah, you're going to be yotze. Right? We're trying to find out the theoretical structure that justifies that halacha. Right? Now, you can't say the theoretical structure is the fact that the mitzvah is the chefza shel tkiyah, and that which relates you to it is the shmiyah. Because the Gemara says that it brings you, whatever the structure it is, it brings you head on into a collision with the next Mishnah. Right? But it doesn't, if that's the case. So therefore, we have to say that the Gemara had a different understanding of why Shoma Miktas Tkiyas Yotza. Not that it's a Mitzaref, but a different understanding of it. And that's our question, what is that understanding? Okay, we're searching for that theoretical structure. All right, what I think is like this. I think Gemara means that, you see, in Tkiyas Shofar, there's two things. There's the Maisa HaMitzvah, okay, which is the tkiyah, and then there's the kiyum. The tkiyah has an objective, and the objective is the kiyum shmiyasa, right? Okay, that's why, as you recall, for Reb Chaim held that you have to be wife mechavna biyotze. Why can't you just listen, right? But the answer is there is a Maisa HaMitzvah of a producing a Tkia, right? But that alone, the Kiyum of the of that Maisa has an objective, and the objective is in the Shmiah. But the Maisa, there is a Maisa HaMitzvah. So you have to Mechaven to be Yotze in order to relate the Maisa Tkia to you. Okay? But the Gemara thought at this point the same way, but the Gemara thought that the objective is simply, there's the Maisa HaMitzvah of Tkiyah, which has a shear, but the objective of that Maisa HaMitzvah is to create a Gavra that's a Shomea. And Shomea is any part of it, is a Shomea. You see, the shear is a shear in the Maisa HaMitzvah. But the objective of the Maisa HaMitzvah is to create a Shomea. Now, what's a Shomea? A Shomea doesn't have a shear. He's a Shomea. He heard the sound. He heard it. Did he hear it? He heard it. So, that's what the Gemara thought. So, the Gemara thought, if that's the formulation, that the Maisa HaMitzvah has an objective to create a Shomea, as long as it qualifies as a Shomea, you see, in a Shomea, you can't... In a Shomea, you can't distinguish. Is he a Shomea? Is he not a Shomea? Do you know what I mean? You can't say he's a Shomea if he listened that much, a certain amount. Shomea doesn't lend itself to a shear. Shomea is a qualitative idea. Okay? So, if the... You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if the Kiyum Mitzvasa is in Shmiyasa, so then you can transfer the shear from the tzki itself to the shmiya, because he's saying it's the phenomenon of the shmiya of this thing, which is the kiyum. So then the shear is going to be directly translated, right? But if you say it's to create a shomeya, you can't say if he heard X amount he's a shomeya, and if he heard less he's not a shomeya. Either he is a shomeya. You can't give a shear in a shomeya. The concept of shear is inappropriate for a shomeya. A shomeya is a qualitative idea. Was the man a shomeya or not? You see, it doesn't lend itself to shear. So the Gemara thought that was who's halacha? That was Rabba's halacha. That was Rabba's halacha. Rabba's halacha was that the Maisa HaMitzvah has a shear, but the objective, the kiyum, is to create a gavra shomeya. And a gavra shomeya doesn't lend itself to shear anymore. So that's why if you heard mitzvah sakol, is yotza. Okay? Yes. You think logically here. That if it's X amount, then the reason why you need X amount is not because to make you a shomeya, it's because the kiyum mitzvasa is in the shmi of this thing. And this thing has a shear, so the shmi has to have a shear. It'll be commensurate. It follows along parallel. But if you're saying it's to create a new thing, a shomeya, now the shear can't be transferred anymore logically. Because a shomeya is not a quantitative thing. Either he is a shomeya, he's not a shomeya. Why does he have to hear an extended sound? Did he hear or not? You see? The only logic behind hearing an extended sound is if you're translating the maisa tkiya into a shmiya, which is its kiyon. So then it's going to take along with it the attribute of the quantity. You see? But if he's saying it's to produce a new thing, a gavra shomeya, there's no shear in a gavra shomeya. I mean, a gavra shomeya is a gavra shomeya. There's no shear. The gavra could be 6 feet tall, it could be 5 feet tall. And he can listen for a half a second, listen to 2 seconds. He's a gavra shomeya. It doesn't lend itself to shear. You see? So that's what the Gemara thought. Okay? But now the Gemara said, if that's the concept really... A gavra shomeya. So a gavra shomeya is dependent on kavanas agavra. So why can't kavanas agavra break him up into two gavra shomeya? You see, and that's a Rashi as kavana. Rashi says, "Bepshuta shelacharei kishtayim v'neschavein lotzis bo af yedei pshuta shelifnei truas hazachronos." So then he should be yotze. Why? Because a kavana is a concept in gavra shomeya. Okay, I want to be a gavra shomeya for this, and now I'm not. Now I don't want to. You see? So therefore, if it's to create a gavra shomeya hashomeya, and the kiyum mitzvasa is in the gavra shomeya, so the Gemara's question is, why can't he render himself a Gavra Shemaya twice? Okay? Provided, of course, you have two shiur. I mean, one shiur can't do it. Because one shiur is one entity. Correct? In other words, if it's one shiur, you can't be a Gavra Shemaya twice in one shiur, because the Maisa Mitzvah is produced. Each shiur has its objective of creating a Gavra Shemaya. But now you have two. So why can't the Gavra Shemaya break it up in terms of his Kavanah? His Kavanah should be able to break it up. That's the Gemara's question. In other words, the Kiyum Mitzvasa eventuates in the Gavra Shomea. So the Gavra Shomea is the final objective of the whole thing. Okay? So if it becomes real in the Gavra Shomea, so if I and that's totally in Kavanah Sa'adam, so if I'm Machaven twice, so my Kavanah should take this material, this primary material of the Tkiyah, and formulate it into its final objective, which is a Gavra Shemaya. So I could do it. I could take one, as long as I have enough to do it. I should be able to split the shear and find the objective of the primary material for the mitzvah in me as a Gavra Shemaya. You see, because the whole Maisa HaTkiyah is a primary substance which eventuates into a Kiyum of a Gavra Shomea. So it should be able to be formed in the Gavra Shomea. That's what the Gemara is saying. Since its ultimate realization is found in him, he should be the determinant. It's not the sound anymore, you see. It's not the sound that's a Maisa HaMitzvah. That has to be that in the Shmiyah is the Kiyum. It's the sound that eventuates into an entity of a Tzuras HaOdom that's a Shomea. So the whole essence of the thing is the Tzuras HaOdom HaShomea. And Kavanah is an essential thing in this Gavra. So he should be able to translate it into two. Okay? Yeah. It depends on where the essence lies. If the essence lies in the reality that the thing creates, so if the essence rests in that final reality, then the division should be totally on the final reality, because that's where the essence is. If the essence resides in the thing itself, then you're right. Then you can't split it. Because then the essence is a substance, and it's still one. It requires a physical demarcation between one and the other. Otherwise, it's a continuous quantity and requires a break. But if you say that the essence resides in the entity that's produced, then the entity should be able to split it, because Kavanah is a characteristic of this entity. So Kavanah should be able to split it. See, it depends, according to his formulation. It creates a greater essence than itself. See, it becomes realized in a greater essence than a sound. You know what I mean? So the thing moves from the initial substance to a far greater entity. So the greater entity should be the determinant of whether it's one or two, not the thing itself. That's what Gemara is saying. If you're going to say in the formulation that this thing is reformulated into a higher phenomenon, so that higher phenomenon should be able to determine whether it's one or two. But if you say no, that the thing itself is the substance, then we have to look at it and see it's continuous, no good. It's got to be broken. So that's what the Gemara said. That if you're going to say this theory, you're going to have to say that the Kol Shofar is on its way to a whole new phenomenon, and that is an individual human being with human characteristics that's realizing a Kol Shofar. So then, whether it's one or two should be dependent on that ultimate entity that's produced. not on the original, whether the original sound is continuous or not. That's just a physical phenomenon. But now you're beyond the physical. Now you're into an entity that's an intellect. That's a different kind of a thing. So that intellect, if that's the essence of the thing, the intellect should be able to differentiate and render one or two. You see? But if you are saying the essence is the substance of the sound, then we can understand why you can't split it. Because the essence is a substance, so it's continuous, it's no good. See, that's why the Gemara says that this formulation, where you say you only need to hear part of the sound, leads you head on into a problem with this Mishnah, because now we should logically say that the differentiator should be that ultimate entity which the Kol Shofar eventuates into, which is indistinguishable from the Kol Shofar, and it becomes this higher phenomenon of a human being that's a Shomea. So if that's the case, so then he should be able to determine it. He should be able to determine whether it's one or whether it's two. That's what the Gemara is saying. What's the Maskana? That's the question. What's the Maskana? Why does the Gemara retract from that? Because it's Mistavra that's the way it should be, really. Yes. So why does the Gemara say no? The Gemara says, not afsuki kol lo masakina. Why not?
Say that the kol that's produced will still be always be the result of one meisen. It must be a result. Meaning every kinim is still going to relate back to the meisen.
Because a shomea is always, the shomea is going to be a shomea of something. It's true that he is a higher entity, but the fact is, it's always a relative. It's always a shomea of. So you can't, if the initial sound is not separate, you can't, he can't break it. You see, he can't break it. Because the shomea has always got to be a shomea of something. If the sound is one, so then he can't, he still can't split it. You follow? In other words, like, even though he's a higher, the kiyum finds itself in the higher entity, but it's not that the higher entity now can just take it and just manipulate it. Because he always remains a shomea of the thing. So if the identity is one, even though it becomes involved in a higher phenomenon, you see, but he still can't be greater than the thing, not because he's not greater, but because of the relationship that exists between him and the thing. He's always a shomea shel kol. So there's no way that he could do it. You see? That's the Havmina Maskana. The Havmina Maskana. That's right. That's he's still a shomea shel kol. So if the kol is a unit, is one unity, so then he can't change that. He can't change that. You see? The Havmina held that the kol produces a phenomenon. And that phenomenon is much greater than what it produces. So therefore, the greater entity should be able to take that, as long as it has enough material to create a kol shofar, it should be able to differentiate. That should be the differentiator. Because it's greater in quality than the kol itself, and that's the essence of the thing. The essence of the thing resides ultimately in that gavra. So he should be the determinant. But the Gemara says it's true, logically, that he should be the determinant in terms of position. But the fact remains that he's always a shomea kol shofar. So he can't go beyond that. He can't exceed the, even though he's greater than the thing, but the thing is always, it cannot change its nature. He can't change it. You need it first. It's primary, because he's a Shomea Kol Shofar. So it's primary, he can't manipulate it.
Without being too absurd.
That's a different Shomea. In other words, there's a Shomea of a cry, there's a Shomea of a straight sound. It's a different Shomea. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not just breaking it up. It's a different quality of a shomea. It's a different quality of a shomea. That's what I'm going to say. Now, if you're going to say that less than a shear tkia is not called a tkia, So then, I mean, then you can't justify hearing part of it because you didn't hear anything. But with the Gemara over here saying that you are Yotzei, so it has to be interpreting that the concept of a Shir Tzki is not that less than a Shir, there's no phenomenon of Tzki. There is, but it's not enough. You need more. So if that's the case, so then I could say the Shir, then I'll have to say that the Shir can only be translated to the Kol if the Kiyum Mitzvasa is in the Shmir. But if it's to produce a Shomea, so you have a Shomea. The only thing is you need the Shir because that's Halacha in the Maisa. You need a Shir in the Maisa, but the Shir in the Maisa has an objective of a Shomea. That's one thing the Rav mentioned, that you see that the key is not simply a physical action, because then it couldn't become under the transference of Shemei HaKohanim. So it belongs to the category of Dibur. That category lends itself to transference. All right, we learned the Sugya according to half of the Rishonim. Okay. There's another group of Rishonim, among them the Ramban, that they hold that it's impossible to be Yotzei. It's virtually impossible to be Yotzei if it's less than the Shir. So they learn that if you heard the, when it says, for instance, Shoma Mitzas Tkia Kodom Shalom Rashachar, Umitzas Tkia La'acha Shalom Rashachar, La Yotza, it means you heard Tashir. It means it's Machlev Shishon. What? What? In other words, there was a beginning before, but it continued afterwards. But even though we heard afterwards the shear of Tzkiya, it's still not good. Okay? Because you have to hear the whole call. So the Ritva wants to learn the sugya, that this sugya, like we learned yesterday. In spite of the fact that Lamaskana, he says, we don't hold that way. Because the sugya, the problem in the sugya. Because the problem in the sugya is when the Gemara asks the question, So the Ramban says, maybe there's no shear. So as the Rav says, this sugya is not going the way. Sugya is going like the way we learned it, basically. But nevertheless, Allah lemaskana, lemaisa, the Rav holds like the Ramban. The machlekes is, what's the machlekes? The machlekes is a practical machlekes. It eventuates into a practical machlekes. In terms of the sugya, if you want to learn the sugya like the Ramban, it won't make much difference in the lumdus of the sugya. It'd be the same, pretty much. But you have to understand what the machlekes is. That's all. That's his question. So he struggles with it. He doesn't. He wants to say that it must be speaking where there was a shear. He struggles with it. He has a problem with it. You'll take a look at the Ramban. What?
Conceptually, you're not going to say there's a
shear.
If you understand why there's the Gavra
Shemaya,
then you can put a
shear
on
that. No, I'll tell you what. If you say it's Gavra Shemaya, so it won't make any difference, because the only difference will be what do you have to hear. In other words, is the whole cult show for one entity? But I want to get into what the machlekes is. Forget, then we'll see what I'm going to say. First, got to know the machlekes. The machlekes really is, as machlekes express itself in simple terms, the simple terms of the machlekes. Is if, for instance, let's say somebody starts to blow shofar, okay, and you weren't mechavein to be yotzei, and then in the middle you go over to him and you say, I'm mechavein not to be yotzei, and he's in the middle of the tekiah, and he blows a shear. From that point on, are you yotzei or are you not yotzei? That's the machlekes, okay, or the machlekes would be amar hashachar. If you heard the mixas karam amar hashachar, mixas lacham amar hashachar, provided you know exactly when amar hashachar is, so then you'll have the same machlekes. Are you yotzei or are you not yotzei?
That's a halacha. Okay.
What?
That's la halacha.
La halacha. La halacha. It's machlekes shishonim. It's brought down the tour. The tour poskins. You got the tour? Give me the tour. Yeah. Let's say, for instance, he's misasik. Okay, he's just blowing like this. And then he realizes he wants to be yotzer. So he keeps blowing, and he blows kashir. So is he yotzer, is he not yotzer? All those kind of cases. Or let's say, for instance, a practical thing. Let's say, for instance, you're machavein to be shomea, and then after the tchias kashir, you mindlessly you forget about it. Yotzei na, it's practical. You're in shul, or you didn't hear the first one. You machavein before, or whatever he does is a shomea mashmia. But now you just don't listen to the first part of the call. But you listen, there was, in other words, you're machaven shomea mashmia. But there was no shmia on the first part of the call, but there was a shmia on the shear of the call. Will you be yotze or will you not be yotze? That's the question. So that's machlokes rishonim. Okay. So the Torah says like this. Torah stuff to present. Okay. So he says, Vimischel, let's go up a bar. Okay. Vachem lo yatsu af pisha besofat kia shomu kol shofar. Kivin shlo shomu kolo betchilo lo yatsu. Sheshmea tchilos tchia below sofa. O sofa below tchilosa. The ain ba osa mixas sheer tchia lo yatsu. Brings down the case. The mischel it's called a bar, the olah chutz the bar, the gomra yatsu. Shekoma shama bain bifnime muchotsay kol shofar. Vacherim la yatsu afa pisha besofat kia. Shamu kol shofar, but they're outside. Kivin shlo shamu kol betchil la yatsu. Sheshamea tchilas tchia below sofa, sofa below tchilos, vain ba osa mixas sheer tchia la yatsu. So the Torah says clearly, but if there is sheer tchia, Ubala iter kosav shafilu yesh b'miksasa shiatkil lo yatsa. It's a machlok shom. But it turns out that really it seems that most of the Rishonim, I mean, both days are brought down to Shulchan Aruch. But the Mishnah Berurah is correct in saying that the basic sheet of Rishonim is the sheet that holds that it's no good. Interesting. Sheet that holds that it's no good. That's the basic sheet of Rishonim. You have the Ramban, and then I saw he doesn't have the Ritva, maybe he didn't have this Ritva, but the Ritva holds the same way, and then he quotes the Gra holds the same way. So it seems that in the Bala Itur, even though the Torah seems to take a double Pasha the other way, you see, he takes a double Pasha the other way, and he just quotes the Bala Itur as a Chalek. But Lamaskana Sadvarim, it comes out that a large group of Rishonim hold, major group, hold that you won't be Yotze, even if you heard Shia Tkiah. Even if you're a Shiatkiya. Right. So the question is, I mean, so we have to define the Machlokes Rishonim. That's what we have to do here. What's the Machlokes Rishonim? I mean, I tell you, intuitively, I'd say like the Torah. Because you heard the Shiatkiya, so what's the problem? I mean, a person has Marach and Tkiya, so Marach makes a long Tkiya Gedela. So the whole, you need the extra. I mean, the extra is that's extra, you don't need it. So it's more than Kadesh Yir. So more than Kadesh Yir, I mean, shouldn't be necessary. Comes out, I mean, the Tekeh blows a long Tekeh Gedolah, you have to listen to the whole Tekeh, you have to listen to the whole thing. You can't, has to be Shmi on the whole thing. I mean, that's the way most Paschim. But why? The question is why, I mean. What's the svar on that? I was thinking like this, that... That there's no shear in tkiah, in tkiahs. There's no concept of shear. You see, the idea of shear, the halacha of shear in tkiahs, is simply to give the kol a certain quality. But kol doesn't lend itself to shear, because kol is a qualitative phenomenon. So all those halachas that say you need a shear, you see, are just saying that without that, the quality is not there in the kol. But there's really no shear in tekiyas. Because in tekiyah, Tzkiyah has a characteristic, like a bubble. You can't give a shear to a characteristic, you see. So, according, that's what Moshe Shalom holds, it would seem, that the shiurim in the tzkiyas are not like shiurim in kolotar kola. Because the shear is only there to tell you how to achieve the character of the kol, you see. That's the reason the shear is there. It's not there as a shear that you need a certain duration of the kol. It's there to describe the character. But really in kol, there's no shear. It doesn't lend itself to shear. So if that's the case, if kol is a qualitative entity that doesn't lend itself to shear, so you understand very well that you can't break it off in the middle. Not possible. Because it's a qualitative phenomenon. But if you don't have enough, you won't have that character. It's a different concept in shear. And it would seem that most Rishonim hold that way. Different concept in shear. That's the Machlokes Rishonim. Machlokes Rishonim is the institution of Shiurim and Shofar the same as the institution of Shiurim and Kol HaTorah Kulo, is a different concept. Over here is a different concept altogether. Namely, that if you don't have this amount, it's giving you a requirement to tell you how to achieve the character. You see? But it's not telling you a duration. It has to have this duration. That's the Machlokes Rishonim. If he says duration, so then that's it. You heard the shear. He wants to go on blowing. Fine. It's not your problem. But if you say that coal doesn't lend itself to shear, so then you could never break it off in the middle because shear doesn't play a role in coal. Why do you have the shiurim? The shiurim are to help you know how to achieve the character of the coal. You see. That's the machlekes.
Why wouldn't the coal itself the shiur?
Coal is a qualitative entity, like a cry. It's a qualitative entity. It's not, it doesn't lend itself to quantity.
You can't have like longer cries.
No. Because it doesn't, because all you need is the sound of the cry. It's a cry. There's no shear. It's not a person crying. You can't give a shear to a cry. You can give a shear to how long a person cries. Say you cry for an hour. You see? But you can't give a shear to a cry. A cry is either a cry or it's not a cry. That's it. You have to understand what I'm saying. I'm saying a coal is an entity. You can't break it off in the middle. It's a phenomenon which has a beginning and an end. That's the nature of a coal. All the shiurim are telling you is that if it's too short, it doesn't have the character. But a coal is a special phenomenon. It has a character of a beginning and an end. So you can't cut it off in the middle. I mean, that's... Why right can you cut it off in the middle? I mean, it's an entity. It's an entity of a call. But the shiurim are just there for one purpose. To give you what's necessary in order to achieve the character. But the call itself is a phenomenon of a call. So how could you cut it off in the middle? Not possible. You see? And it seems most Rishonim hold that way. It makes a lot of sense. So, makes a lot of sense. That's good, because Nicky wants to answer the question. Notice that what does the shear do? The shear gives it the character. Without the shear, there's no character to it. So at least if he heard, you can't say he's a Gavra Shomea if there was no character to it. You see? He doesn't have to hear the whole thing, but he has to hear that there was a cry. So if he hears the shear, so then he heard, at least he heard something that had the character of the thing. You see, they have the character of the thing. He doesn't have to hear the whole thing. That's what Kuznick's answer. It's a good answer. Saying that, but in order to be a shomea, if it's not the shear, he didn't hear anything. But if he heard a sound that had the character of the cry, so then he's a shomea. That's a good answer.
How can you split one thing
into two? How can you split one thing into two? That's what we answered yesterday. And that's very necessary for the Ramban also. Because that's based on the concept that the whole Kiyum Shofar is to produce a Gavra Shomea. You see? That's the whole Kiyum. It's not simply in the sound. But it's to produce a Gavra Shomea. So if that's the case, if he heard the character, he's a Gavra Shomea. And that's why the Gemara thought that if he could take one long one and make it into two. Because he's the one that should be able to be determined. He should be able to determine it. That'll go the same like we said yesterday. There won't be much difference in the sugya. The only difference will be on this point, that according to the Ramban, it's a qualitative concept, so you have to say that the Shomea heard that quality, otherwise he didn't hear anything. You see? What? No, what we're saying is like this. Let me get it clear. That if this was the whole question yesterday, is what is the nature of mitzvahs shmias shofar? Okay? Is the mitzvah to be the kol, but the kiyum is in shmias kol, that aspect of the kol, you see? Or is it to create a gavra shomea? Okay, which is a completely different concept, which the Gemara finally rejects. But we said the whole Gemara is based on that idea. Okay? So the point is this. This is the point you have to keep in mind. That if you say it's the kol, but it's shmias hakol, in other words, the kol is fulfilled via shmia, via shmia. So then, since kol is a qualitative phenomenon, you can't split it. You see? You can't split it. If it's a qualitative phenomenon, a kol, the shear is not there to give you a shear. The shear is just in order to ensure you have the quality. But the kol is a qualitative entity which has a beginning and an end. It's an entity. So you can't split it. But if you say it's to produce a gavra shomea, that's a different framework already. Then you're dealing in terms of the receiver. You're saying the mitzvah is completely contingent on the receiver. So now I have to look from the standpoint of the recipient. Was he a recipient of this kol shofar? So the answer is, if he heard the quality, if he heard enough to hear the quality, he's a receiver. You see? That's a different... You can't split it in the thing itself, but you can split it in the receiver. Do you follow what I mean? You have to differentiate between the thing itself and between a whole different concept, that it's totally in the Gavra Shomea. Did you create a Gavra Shomea? That's a whole new phenomenon. Over there, it's not necessary to hear the whole call. You see? Because it's a different framework. It's the framework of the recipient. It's not the framework of the thing. In the framework of the thing, you can't split, because it's a qualitative concept. But that doesn't mean it can't be split down the line in terms of a receiver. That's a further removed phenomenon from the thing itself. You understand? You understand what I mean?
Don't you have to have the thing?
No. Yeah, you have the thing. You have the thing, but you're saying it's not the thing, but it's the impression it makes in something else.
And now, but that thing has to make an impression on something.
Yeah, I understand, but you might not need the whole thing to make an impression. Let's say, for instance, you have a person. You don't have half a person, but a person comes to you and you interview them, you want to see what kind of an impression they make on you. So you don't necessarily say that the whole person made the impression. You say the smile of the person made the impression. You're impressed by the person. So the impression is not the same as the thing. The impression is how the receiver construes it. So the question, it's just an example, but it's the same thing over here. That you have a coal that can't be split qualitatively. That's fine as long as the halacha remains strictly in terms of the realm of the thing. But once the halacha says the thing is not important, it's the effect of the thing. Now I have different questions. Okay, now what is considered the effect of the thing? You'll need the thing, but in the kiyum mitzvah, if it's the effect, so now the effect is, now we have completely different parameters, completely different guidelines now. So now I can say he was affected. He can't be affected if he didn't hear the character of the call. But you could say that he was affected if he heard the character of the kol. That's enough to create a gavra shamea. So So the concept of quality that can't be broken is only a concept in the thing itself. Not if you go further away from the thing and you set up a different criterion. Do you know what I mean? You understand what I mean? Okay. That's what the Gemara is saying, according to that pshat. The Gemara is saying that why is it? Because afsuki tchias alom asakin. According to the pshat that holds it, it's a real shear. That's what the Gemara is saying. A shear is a quantity in a substance. But a shear doesn't determine substance. Can't do that. So just because you extend the shear is not going to determine a new substance. That's not the nature of shears. It cannot do that. Okay, that's what the Gemara is saying, that the quantity cannot create a characteristic of substance. It just can give you a quantitative accident, but it can't create a substance. That's the Gemara's answer. Okay, that's correct. But if you have mixas, so then you don't need the whole thing. Because it is a substance, and now you have the shear. That's it. And the rest you don't need is extra. That's what you want to say. Okay. There is another Machlokes Rishonim, by the way. Interesting. Is a Machlokes Rishonim who is it? One of the Gainim. The Ritva brings him down. That he learns like this. Basically, most of them reject him, but he learns like this, that Taka Barishona Umoshach Bishniya Kishtayim Ein Lo Ala Achas. So everybody learns Ein Lo Ala Achas means one. But he learns Ein Lo Ala Achas means the first one. And the second one is completely gone.
The first, not the first half of
what?
This one.
Doesn't count as anything. Yeah. You got a rizvah? Doesn't count as anything. You got a rizvah? What? Big nafkamina. Nafkamina where they have to start over again. Haritz geis pirish ein biyado ela achas hainu harishona. That's it. The samach bezal yishamia is a long riches. But he says, why? He said, what's the reason though? Aval b'shniya sheherach b'kishtayim lo also lo klau. Share ain lo sof, kihunis chaven besofa, lios tchila le simen hasheni. So he says it's ain lo sof. Why? Because at the end, in other words, the end, he was machaven, it should be the beginning. So now there's no, so now it turns out there's no end. What does he look like that? The Ritz Gay Salah. I mean, it has nothing to do with Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah whatsoever. I believe he mentions that. Because that means Kavanah Lotzes. Doesn't mean Kavanah that this is for this. That's a different Kavanah. Where do you see you need that Kavanah? Okay. This is a big question against the Ritz Gay. Where do you see a thing like this? What do I care what he's thinking about? I mean, as long as he's mechavein lotzeis, if you hold mitzvah shrichas kavana, that stuff is a big problem. If you hold that way, he's mechavein lotzeis. But he has to be mechavein, he's manipulating the key in his mind, I mean, because of his kavana. I mean, where do you see a thing like that? That's the question against the Rizgeis. Okay? What's the answer? The question is, when we left the sugya. See, the question is, when the Gemara of it's all totally in this Gemara, because the whole Gemara was based on the idea of a Gavra Shomea. That was all Gemara, right? And then the Gemara retracts and rejects it. But the question is, does the Gemara say there is no Gavra Shomea at all in Tkiyas? Or does the Gemara really maintain that there is a Gavra Shomea? But besides a Gavra Shomea, there is the Tkiyas too. It's not only to create a Gavra Shomea. But there is, in fact, a Gavra Shomea and Tkiyas. That's the question. So the Ritz Geis maintains that the Gemara never retracted from that idea. Now, I'll tell you something. It's very mustava from in terms of learning the sugya the way he's saying. Of course, where did the Gemara get an alien idea like that? You know what I mean? All of a sudden, the Gavra Shomea. But if the Gemara really held all the time that in Tkiyas Shofar there is a Gavra Shomea. But the question is that the essence and there's no tkiyas, or no, that exists side by side. But there is a kiyum in a gavra shomea. So if there's a kiyum in a gavra shomea, then you could say that that's the definition of a Gavra Shomea. You see? That he knows what is what. What's what. And he's mechavein that this is the beginning and this is the end. And if he's not, there's no Gavra Shomea. If there's no Gavra Shomea, there's no Yotze. That's what the Ritzkeis maintains.
According to the Ritzkeis,
another person... By the way, there is a halacha that if someone is tokeya and two people are listening, and one person is listening for it to be the beginning of a set, and the other person is listening for it to be the end of a set, he's Yotze. They're both Yotze. But that's in line with the idea that there's a Gavra Shomea, and the Gavra Shomea is Koveya. You see? He's Koveya. So the Ritz Geus, you see, I would say, as a matter of fact, that nobody argues with the Ritz Geus in terms of the concept of Gavra Shomea. Everybody holds the Gavra Shomea. The only question is that if there's a Gavra Shomea, does that mean necessarily that his kavana is going to determine, you know what I mean, whether what it is. And if his kavana is that it's for the beginning of the next set, so then he's not considered a Gavra Shomea insofar as this set. Or it doesn't matter. There's a Gavra Shomea. I would say that everybody else is a Kiyam Gavra Shomea. And it would seem that way. Shmar Kol Shofar. But at any rate, that's up to you to decide. But this much you must say, that the Ritz Geus definitely holds that way. Because if you don't have that premise of the Gavra Shomea, what he's saying doesn't make any sense. Because why should what he's thinking make a difference? But the Ritz Geus really learned very well. Because the sugya just retracted from the position that that's all it is. But it didn't retract from the position that there's such a thing. So therefore, if the end result is that there is such a thing, so then it'll make a difference in how he's thinking, because that's a different shomea. That's a different shomea. He's a shomea insofar as the next set. He's not a shomea as far as this set, so it has no end. So therefore, he's not yotze. That's the Ritz Geus. But we wouldn't have gotten the Ritz Geus if we didn't learn the sugya right. Yes, let me make that point clear again. In other words, in the sugya we were learning that all there is an objective of a Gavra Shomea.
That is Kiyam.
That's the whole Kiyam. Now we're saying the Gemara retracts from that. So according to the Maskanas of Gemara, there's the Mitzvah Shmias Kol Shofar. But that doesn't mean there's no Kiyam of a Gavra Shomea besides. That doesn't exclude the idea. Doesn't exclude the idea of a Gavra Shomea. So that makes a lot of sense, that there is a concept of a Gavra Shomea. I mean, you see, Lahalos Zechonim Lavim Shabashamayim, I mean, it's very, as in the Dibors also, I mean, it's mashma that way. It's very, the Ritz Geus is far, it's a very good far. Very good far. Question is why they disagree with him. I mean, it's a very good far. Okay.
So then according to...
The Ritz Geus' idea emerges naturally from the sugya. And it's a very profound idea, and it's very mistaver that in Tkiyas Shofar there is the mitzvah is l'shmoa kol shofar, and it's a very detailed mitzvah, and you have to hear the whole kol, but that kol eventuates in the phenomenon of a Gavra Shomea. Okay. So now the Gemara's next question. So leipuk betchilas kimim kamal arav kol. Take Rashi. Take Rashi of Imkol Shofar. So Rashi says, interesting Rashi. Imkol Shofar Shoma below Kol Havara Yatza. Imkol Havara Shoma, he says, Imkol Shofar La Yatza. Is that exactly what we said yesterday? In Shittas Rashi? Right? What does he mean? He means that you can't isolate it. How do we learn Rashi yesterday? I mean, listen, I think Rashi's saying the same thing. I mean, you know, I don't want to think it out, but I think Rashi's saying the exact same, the same shot that we said yesterday in Rashi after we did the Rush.
Right.
Namely, that once it's an amplified sound, so if he could separate,
according to Rashi,
that's right, he has to separate it out in his mind. If he could separate it out in his mind, so then... he's Yotze. If he can't separate it out, then he's not. So Rashi, that's what Rashi's saying over here, basically.
Yes.
Am I right? If below Kol Havara, in other words, he can isolate it in his mind and separate it out, So then he's Yotze. Right. But im kol avara shama, im kol ha-shofar liyotze. Why does I say im kol ha-shofar? Because Rashi's saying is that if you can't separate it out, so then it's one entity, and one entity of an amplified sound, and therefore mixas of that is no good, because you need a whole sound. Is Rashi going out of his way basically to explain it?
So why
should have been back there. I know, should have been back there. He didn't give you much back there.
So
I know, but he.
So
that's what he means.
Before,
that's what he means. Because in the bar, you could always hear it as a separate phenomenon. You see, but outside, you have to be mafchen. If you can isolate it, so then it's good. But if you can't isolate it, but it's intermingled with the sound of the echo or the amplification, then it's all one entity, and you're not going to be Yotze, because you can't be Yotze and mix us of the sound. That's a Rashi saying. So you see, it's a conceptual sugya. It's not just a physical phenomenon, what they call a var. It's a conceptual idea. That if the shofar, if you can't single it out, but you hear it in there, you hear it, but it's in there as one thing, then you're not Yotze. Because that's one entity of sound. But if you can single it out, then you Yotze. That's what it's telling you. That's what it's telling you about. What? You mean it's just so. Yes. What's the Gemara's final answer? Gemara says that he's really in the bar and he's blowing his way all the way up. In the bar and straight out. So in the bar is fine, out is also fine. So what's the Gemara says that's the case, so what do you need it for? Gemara says, no, it's in order to, you might think that on the way up his ears were outside and the shofar was inside, so then it wouldn't be good. Kamash Malon, what? I mean, it definitely wouldn't be good. So what's the Kamash Malon?
We're not
Choshesh. We're not Choshesh for that. Okay, so what kind of halacha is that? What do you mean not Choshesh for that?
Why is that any different?
Okay, so the question is in the Maskana Sagamara, the Rashba's question, that now it'll come out very strange because you're interpreting, well, I mean, just the straight way to ask the question is you're interpreting the sugya according to, you're interpreting the sugya to mean that he was, the same person was Olah, okay? But he himself didn't interpret it that way. Because when Abaya asked him, right, when Abaya asked him, what's the difference between the first case of Shema Mixas Tkiyah and the second case of Mixas Tia Kadam Shela Mashacha, so he didn't say that, what do you mean? I mean, there's no comparison. You heard the whole Tkiyah. So the Rashba says that's no problem because many times Amoraim will answer according to the way you think, it's still no question. Yeah. Even though it's true, even though that halacha, it's not true either. Because halacha, he doesn't hold that mixas tkiya is good. But he was just being mechalik. He just showed that chilik is, you know, what are you comparing? There's no comparison. That's what Rashba learns. Okay. But the only question that remains is, what is the chiddush of mixas tkiya kodem shi'al amar ha-shachar and mixas tkiya la'acha shi'al amar ha-shachar? What's the chiddush? I mean, if he wants to tell you that mixas tkiya is no good, so he himself said that, that's not a good way to tell you. Because he should have told you the case where it all has a shem tkiya, but you only heard mixas tkiya. Okay? So the answer you have to say is that the Rashba happens to hold like the Ramban and the Ritva, namely, that even if you heard the shir tkiya after Amar HaShachar, it still wouldn't be good. So that's his chiddush. So his chiddush is that the shir tkiya is not enough because tkiya is a qualitative phenomenon, doesn't lend itself to shir, and that's why it won't be any good. That's what I say according to Rashba. But according to the other Rishon that hold, that if you heard the shir tkiya afterwards, this answer won't be good. You couldn't give this answer because you're going to have to say mixas tkiya means that the half of the shir was before and half of the shir was afterwards. So I mean, so what's the chiddush? So according to them, it remains a problem. But it's a good raya for the Shita Rosh Hashanah hold that Mixas Tkiah, even if it has the shear, is not good. It's a good raya for me, yes? Yeah, I mean, it shows you, what Aaron is mentioning good. So why did they mention it? Why does he have to get on his case? I mean, but the answer is, you see that to the Amorim was very important. You see from this that for Chazal, Svara was primary. And to even though it's not Kehilchasa, but they were disturbed if somebody would say something that Svara is not good. I mean, it's not just simply a matter of Aloha, but the Svara is no good. I mean, you have to correct the person because his mind is not working properly. So, I mean, that's primary. So you see that in the discussions of the Amorim, they weren't only concerned with halacha. They were concerned with methodology, with theory. So you have to correct the person if he's making a mistake in Svara, even though he's not making a mistake in halacha. You have to correct him. That's what you see from the Gemara. You can't just say, you have to correct the person making a mistake in halacha, of course. But if he's making a mistake in Svara, you can't not correct it. Because it shows that his mind is not operating properly. So you have to correct it. That's what you see from this Gemara.
They didn't correct him in Aloha.
What?
They didn't correct him in Aloha.
No. Because they weren't discussing that. I mean, if a person is making a mistake in a basic perception of the halachic phenomena, I mean, you have to correct it. You have to correct it. Because it's not distinguishing between two categories. Okay. Sigma says, Ihochi Milam Memra. Alright, there's just one more chiluk I want to mention. There's a difference between a raya from a Mishnah and something that is muchach from a Mishnah. Okay, well, it's muchach from a Mishnah, and Amara doesn't have to talk about it. But you can have a raya from a Mishnah that's not muchach, that doesn't mean an Amara doesn't have to express himself. So therefore, with regard to the Gemara says that Tashma in the second Tashma that Keltecha Bor that Leipuk Betchilas Tchia Mekamed Lav of Kola. So that's not according to the Ramban. That means where there was a shear, because without a shear is nothing. So you could ask. That the what does he have to tell you? So you see from here clearly that even if you have a shear, you know, yaitzah. So why did Rabbi have to tell you that? But the answer is because from the Mishnah, it's not muach. There was a shear. And the bottom line, the Ramban says there was a shear, because otherwise he wouldn't have a kasha. According to the Ramban, that requires a shear. But there's a difference between a statement which is muach from the Mishnah and a statement which you could prove from the Mishnah, which is not muach, that an Amora can't express himself about it. That's okay, so that's just a side point mentioned. Okay, that's the end of the sugya. So what does the sugya say in the maskana? So what is the halacha of maskana? I mean, what is this kamashma? What is the learning here? Okay. I mean, did he hear the whole? What did he hear? Did he hear the kol shofar or the kol avar? What did he hear? Apparently, I mean, he would say, or the kol shofar. So what's the question? So the answer is that he could imagine he heard the whole thing, but it could be there's a momentary lapse there. Okay, that he, if the shofar went up first, so then there's no problem. But if he went up first, so then there's going to be a problem. So maybe the shofar just dipped down a minute and he doesn't remember it. Did that happen or not? So we say that you don't have to be concerned about it. So what is it? I mean, it's not a takana derabanan. You can't say it's a derabanan. Because the chamud mega takana for nosel hashchicha, the guy's in a bar, he's coming out of the bar. So you got to say it's a real shaila. It's a real question. There's a hav meaning to say that it's no good. Because maybe he had a momentary lapse. So, yeah. So what is the Chiddush? What is the Chiddush? What is the Chiddush? Now I'm saying the case is lashkei. You can't say kamashma is no good, that midrabbanan is no good. So a lot of times you can say that midrabbanan. Ravi can't say midrabbanan because rabbanan would make a takana for a guy coming out of a bar. I mean, it's a nusla lashkei. But what is the chiddush? The chiddush is not choshish for that. Okay, why aren't you choshish for it? No, the answer is you're not choshish because achzuki yisulam achzukinin nusla shchicha, whatever you want to call it. I mean, we don't assume that it happened. Nusla shchicha. Let's still say nusla shchicha. So what did he come to tell you that's a nusla lashchicha? I mean,
what's lashchicha? The case or the fact?
So apparently there's a chiddush here in the nusla lashchicha. No, nusla lashchicha. We're not chashish. Chazuk yisur lo marzikin is lashchicha. Yeah. So what's the chiddush? That apparently the chiddush is that, see, a nusla lashchicha means where you have cases. So you have actual cases, so you say this case happens, but it's lo shchiach. So you have a frame of reference. You know what I mean? Milsa lo shchiach, okay? But over here it's different. Because over here you don't have cases to make recourse to. You have cases of people going up with a bar and they don't dip and they do dip. I mean, there's no cases like that. So the answer is the milsad lashchicha is a universal. It's based on a universal. Now, it's an estimate, a universal estimate, that a person universally, this is the way it's going to happen. You don't really have actual cases, you see. So you might think in halacha that milsad lo shchicha is where you have actual cases. Okay, it's a little bit similar to the difference in rubidis come on, rubidis come on. But the idea is, in other words, you might think milsad lo shchicha means where you have cases and you have a frame of reference. So you say in the frame of reference, this case is a minority case. Okay, hardly ever occurs. But let's say you have one case. You don't have more than one case. But you'll say it's improbable in this case that the person should have done this. Okay? That's a different kind of milsa lashchicha. That's like an improbability. What? Based on the derech adam. No, it's based on the universal. That the way man works, he probably wouldn't have done that. It's improbable that he did it that way. But not that you have actual cases that say it's a milsa lashchicha. You see? So that's Rabba's halacha. That's Rabba's halacha. Rabba's halacha is, that's an important halacha. It's a very important practical halacha. Like, if you say that the derech ha'odom is to do, if you don't know, did a person do it this way, not do it that way, you have a right to estimate and say, look, the derech ha'odom usually is this way, and it's very improbable that he would have done it the other way. So improbability is also milsad lashkir. That's unique halacha. But you see why Rabba's halacha really is very valuable and why it comes specifically from this case. Because this is a case which is a milsad lashkir. So since the case itself is a milsad lashkir, You can't have a frame of reference of minority cases within that, you see. So that's precisely what the Gemara is saying. That's what Rabba wanted. Rabba used the opportunity of this strange case to show you another halacha, namely that milsad lo shchicha does not have to come from a frame of reference, but milsad lo shchicha can also come from an improbability of human nature. An improbability of human nature. That also has a luchic status of milsa lashchicha. Okay? Let's say, for instance, you have 1,000 cases. You only have 10 of these cases. So you have a frame of reference. Okay? You have 10 out of 1,000. Musulushka. Okay? Right? You have a frame of reference. You have 1,000, you have 10 out of 1,000. But over here you have no frame of reference. This is one case. It's the only case like this. So where's the musulushka? So the answer is that's Rabbah's halacha. That's an interesting halacha. It's an important halacha. It has practical value. I mean, a lot of times, say the person did something, you do this, and may yourself, you do this, and so you have a right to say that, no, it's a milsa lo shicha, you don't have to worry about it. Even though it's one case, you don't have to have a frame of reference.
Okay?
In other words, you have no statistical frame of reference. There's no statistical. If it were an ordinary milsa lo shicha, he wouldn't have brought it up. Because that we know already. You're not choshish for that. But over here, he took this opportunity because it was an unusual case. Some of the Shem says that they had the case because of the Shasak Zera. That's why that is the case. So, yes, it was an unusual case. So, because of that, he used that case to teach you this concept, this halacha concept, which is a very important thing to know, I mean, to remember. Yeah, you have a lot of shavu. A person did something. You don't know. They do milk inflation, mix up the thing. So you have a right to say that if it's something that, according to human nature, it's very improbable, you don't have to be chashish. What would you say? So we're saying here basically it's milsa lo shchicha, and it means there's no leidas asafik. There's no leidas asafik. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. There's one more question. The question is like this. Interesting question. The question is, machlokas rishonim, is if we say that you have to hear the whole call, okay, according to the Ramban, right? What about Truah? Is that true by Tkiyas only, or is that true by Truah as well? Okay. It's Machlokas Hashanah. Some want to say because it's a break. Some want to say by a Tkiyah you have to hear the whole call because it's one call. But let's say by Truah it's going two. So you heard already. You heard already nine Truahs. Well, let's say it's Marach and the Shvarim. Tuah. It's Marach has 7 Shvarim. So you have to hear all 7? Or do we say no? So we say, wasn't this in Tkiyah? No, it's different because over here it's a kol nishbar. That's what they say. No, so it's broken off.
Right.
No, so you have a beginning, you have an end.
That's the nature of a cry.
That's right.
No. The pause is part of each one.
What?
Yeah, the pause is part of it.
No, you have the... We said you need the shear to give it the character.
Right.
Right? Okay.
The character of a cry. Stop, go. That's the nature of a cry.
That's right. But once you have that shear, now you have a cry, right? So now, and you have a break.
What?
The break's part of it.
No. Never going to end. He's going to die. I mean, you've got to stop sometime. Who says so?
But the break isn't inherently a break.
You have a break of 10.
No, it seems it's partial over here. You can't compare the case of one tkiyah to a true. Because in one tkiyah, you need a beginning and an end. Right? But over here, you have a beginning and an end, and you have the character of the sound. So what do I care if he goes on to a few more shvarim? Who says you have to listen to the extra? That's machlokes shom. That's machlokes. I mean, you can see the difference clearly.
You're defining it as an end only because of the shear.
I mean, the sound isn't missing anything. It has the shear, it has the break, it has the quality, it has a beginning, it has an end. It's a full sound. So in that case, what do I care if he's marach? I mean, the question is...
What?
If you just heard the part that he's marach, maybe, yeah. Why not? I mean, he's mechavan to be motzi with the whole, let's say he does 10 shvarim. Okay? So he's mechavan motzi with all 10 shvarim. So you were either the first 5 or the last 5. What's the difference? You heard shvarim.
And you say you can pick out which is the beginning, which is the end
for you? All you need is to hear shvarim. He produced many shvarim. You heard shvarim. And there's nothing missing. The call, everything is fine. So many Rishonim hold that that's it. Yotzer. Others say no, you can't. You have to hear the whole thing. So what's the machlokes in that case? The question is, who's koveya the truah? Is the truah nikvas by its character? That's koveya the truah. It's the character itself is koveya the truah, or is it the tokeya is koveya? the tokeya is koveya. The one that emits the cry, so to speak. It's easier to understand in those terms. So there's a long cry, there's a short cry. But the cry is based upon the one who produced it. You see? That's the machlekes. Who's koveya? Is it nikvas mitzar atzmo because of its character? You see, so then the shomeya only has to hear that. Or do I say that the tokeya is koveya, the cry? So it's a long cry, but that's his cry. He's koveya. So you have to hear the whole thing. He's the one that's koveya. You see, is it a cry? As long as it has a character to break. It could be 5, it could be 10, doesn't matter. But he's koveya. But or do I say that it's nikvas mitzar atzmo because of the character of the thing? So if it's the character of the thing that's koveya, you see, so then all I have to do is listen to that part that has the character to it. That's the machlokes. What? That's right. No. In other words, this is not the same thing as those who argue on the Ritz Geis. And they maintain that if the tokeya has in mind for one in one tkiya, right, that it should be for the beginning of a seder or the end of a seder, that doesn't matter. Because as long as he has kavana for the sound, he can't say it's not going to become puzzle if he has in mind that the end is belongs to another seder. Because he has no power to direct him. You know what I mean? He has no power to say this belongs over here. All he has is produce the sound. But in producing the sound itself, that he has power. See, that's a different thing. In other words, that's different than saying I want half of the tkiya to go over there, so therefore you're going to say that I don't have an end to my tkiya. No. You had kavanah to produce a tkiya at the beginning, the middle, and an end. You wanted to break it in the middle, your kavanah. Who cares about that? We don't care about that. You can't do that. You can't relegate half of your tkiya over there or over there. Your intellectual relegation in terms of the Seder doesn't mean anything. Okay? That, what the other Rishonim are going to risk is. But the producer of the sound, insofar as producing the sound, that is a different question. There we say the one that produces the sound, he's the koveya, because he's producing the sound. So that makes sense. Okay? That's a good point. That's the difference. That's the difference. In other words, the question is in the yalala, and in a trua. Do I say it's his trua, it's his yalala? You see? If that's the case, then you have to hear the whole yalala. Or do I say, no, it's not his yalala, the halacha determines the yalala. It's an abstract. And as long as I have a yalala in halacha, so that entity, mechaven to that entity, I'm yotze. That's the question.
The shita that holds that, all you need to do is...
That question, the first question is it a quantity, is the sheer quantity, or is it a quality? Okay, if you say it's quantity, then you have no problem. But if you say it's quality, okay, so then you can't be yotze with the shita, because you need the quality, but over here you have the quality. So that's why you have this machlekes under that shita. I mean, what the Rav said, that it's like dibur. It's good svar to say, it's his dibur. This is his dibur. So he's producing a dibur. So it's his dibur. So you can't split it. Of course, all these things are not from Allah. If you hear a long tkiya, from the chavir al tkiya. If you hear a person goes on with the truas, you can't just, after you hear a few of them, just forget, that's it, yes. You got to listen to the whole thing. You have to listen to the Mechav and the Yotzin, the whole thing. Practical Allah. A lot of times in mind, you can think, you heard it, okay, I heard it already, it's a Yotzin. No good, you're not Yotzin. Now that's correct too. If a psul happens in the end, you're going to have to go back. You have to go back. Let's see. That's right. You mean no? Let's say, for instance, he's going shvarim, and he goes and he has And he goes let's say he goes three shvarim, and then he does a tkiah. Okay? Then if he intended, and then he did a tkiah, and then he did one more shever. So it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good. Because it wasn't over at the time that he did the first three shvarim. I got to think of it. It's a good show. In other words, it'll come out. It lets it. Yeah, pashas would be good. The three shvarim, a truah, and a sheva. So it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good. So the two, the zachar and the shamar, find expression in an ultimate unification in the kiyum b'leiv of the idea of the Yom HaShabbos. That you can't distinguish anymore. But it doesn't end. It's not a halacha of give kavod to Shabbos. So don't work, and also give kavod through the positive. But it has to become a kiyum b'leiv of Yedias Hashem. Ultimately, it's one unified in one underlying entity, which exists in the gavra. I mean, they see in Oz Tassanagal Hashem in Oned, that it's really a Kiyum B'Leiv in Yedias Hashem. So that's why it wasn't given separately. What? Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's right. Now, in the end of the Tfilos, it says, Right. So it has to ultimately lead to the Hashem. The Tfilos, and the Navi supports that idea. So that's why it was given in that manner, to demonstrate that idea. In other words, the whole Ashkofa of Yehadas, everything is in the Yom HaShabbos. That's the ultimate idea. The ultimate idea of the Yichud Hashem, the Bar Yalom. That is the mitzvah, which is not other mitzvahs. Ultimately, everything leads to that. But other mitzvahs have their own stations. You know, I mean, they stop in their own places. Like Yetzias Mitzrayim, Geula. So it's tied to an event. It's a Shepasach. So Hatzolah, I mean, the mitzvah has an address that's unique, that has its own place. But over here, the address is Yedias Hashem. Yisora Yisoros. That's Shabbos. Doesn't have any midpoint.
That's why by Yom the Cholde, Kippur Kippas about Tikkun
Lelila. Right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's a specialist on Shabbos to read a novel. Right. And then Leyeh Diburcha b'Shabbos k'Diburcha b'Chol. It's the keem of the Yom HaShabbos. Yom HaShabbos was created for one purpose, for the keem b'Leiv. It has a halachic status, but the essence of that status is in the Kiyum, not in the Maisa. The Maisa alone is not enough. Maisa alone doesn't really give the person the Kiyum. It's a Kiyum in the Lev Adam, in his Yedias Hashem. That Shabbos is unique. Shabbos unique. That's Shabbos. Shabbos is unique that way. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's so much.
That's right. L'shmecha. Yichud Hashem, I mean, it's, you're right, the tefillahs all show that idea. So it's all the Zohar and the Shamar is all has an objective. That's the objective. So if the person just keeps the Zohar and the Shamar practically, but it doesn't go any further, he's not really Shamar Shabbos. Yeah.
Is that the
Os? It means this also was given the property of an Os. Okay, this was given the property of an Os. But that's a characteristic of it. But the essence of it is the idea. The essence of it is the idea. It's an interesting thing that in our tefillahs, so in Shabbos, you miss, you took out, one thing's taken out. You notice it? In Amei Laretz?
Sorry, what's
second, right? Marab Masachar Hashem Kulam Uchach Masisa, right? So we took it out, but the Sfadim left it in. You see, it's an interesting. The Sfadim left it in. The Rambam has it in, because really, why should you take it out? I mean, Marab Masachar Hashem Kulam Uchach Masisa is really, that's the Kedushas Yom HaShabbos. That's the Kedushas Yom. Why should he only in Chol? So the reason why it's taken out is because there's no mice on Shabbos. Because there's no mice on Shabbos. But the ones that are holy, the ones that argue, they hold, I mean, it's the Chachmei Svara, they disagree, because they say it's true, there's no mice, there was no mice on Shabbos, but insofar as the idea is concerned, the idea for the Gavra on the Yom HaShabbos is Marav Masachar Hashem Kulam Chachmas Isa. That's it's Brias Olam. It's the Yom HaShvi is Tachlis Masei Shemayim Varetz, but you can't isolate it from the rest. I mean, it's all Brias Olam. It's Yichud Hashem. It's Yesh Me'ayin. It's the Yisod Yisodos. So that's why the Chachmas Isa left it, kept it in. But the minute they take it out, the ones that took it out, that was the reason they took it out. Because in Shabbos, there's no Maisa. But really, Al Pisvara is more Mustafa like the Chachmei Svara to me. Because that's Lachol Askeroda. I mean, to see the Kvod Shemayim from the Brias, that's a part of Kedushas of the Yom HaShabbos. Minute Ashkenaz is to take it out, Minute Svara is leaving. In other words, there were two things, two nisim that took place. One was in the kol itself, that simultaneously produced two different words, and also the receivers were able to perceive both simultaneously. Okay? Were able to perceive both simultaneously. Yeah. Okay. It would have been enough just to have the first half. That the Zohar v'Shamar should have one source, one simultaneous source. Correct? But the one simultaneous source, so is it just that, I mean, so it's a Moshe Rabbeinu could explain to him later that this is what it was. You see? But, and the Gemara's mashma that both things had significance. You know what I mean? That the source was unified and the receiving was also unified. So what does it mean? I think what it means is that the source we understand, because it has to show you that the idea is all unified. But the fact that they were made to understand it shows that the Yedias Hashem really can never be completed by Adam alone, but he needs the assistance of Nevuah in order to be able to complete his perception. So that's why it was Masha Ein HaPeh Yochol Ladaber Ve'Ein HaOzen Yochol Lashma. So were it not for the assistance of Nevuah, they couldn't hear it. Which means that without Nevuah, you really can't go beyond a limited point of Yedias Hashem. But with Nevuah, the individual can be assisted to see beyond where he wouldn't be able to see before. In Yedias Hashem. In Yedias Hashem. That's what it means. And that was really Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. That because he gave up from his private life, his private pursuit, intellectual pursuit, but he received through Nevuah the greatest idea that he never would have gotten on his own even. Yeah. The riots and the fact that the Tana didn't say anything specific about this goal, Tana said, once you say it's B'di B'rechad, that's it. Now the Tana went down to the normal situation and said, it's just not possible to hear both. So that's enough to show that it was their place. Okay? So you see that that Trey Kol Olam Mishtami. Okay. Trey Kol Olam Mishtami. Yeah. The answer, why don't you just say make an experiment? right? Just make an experiment and see if you can hear it. No, because the answer is like this, because hearing is subject to variation of degree. You always hear, you see? So the Tana is saying that they heard every nuance of it. You always hear sounds, okay? You heard a lot of sounds. So when do you define, how do you define hearing and not hearing? So there's a level, a halachic level of shmiya. So in other words, what the Tana is saying is that in the Tana's expression, what he's saying is here they heard every nuance. You see, Masha Enikain, it wouldn't be considered shmiya. So you see, the Tana is saying that when you have two sounds, even though you hear both sounds, experimentally you can say you heard, but where's the cutoff point that it's not considered a din of shmiya? You see? So that's what I'm saying. Masha'ina ozen yichol l'shmoa means that this wouldn't be considered shmiya halachically. So they heard beyond the point in order that it should be rendered a din, it was rendered a shmiya. So from the Tana you see that it doesn't have a din shmiya. That's what the Gemara is saying. Because experimentally is not going to help you. You heard it. Where's the cutoff? Where do you define shmiya? So you see, the Tana says over here that it was given a din shmiya, which means that below that level, it doesn't even have a din shmiya. So that was the halacha was the dibur echad nemru means that it reached the level of a din shmiya, which means that under ordinary circumstances, that would not be considered shmiya, it would be considered a vuvia. Wouldn't have a din shmiya. Okay? So the Tana is really giving you the precise level that it had a din shmiya. And that's why it was chutz l'teva. But it shows you that ordinarily that sound doesn't have a din shmiya. So that answers the question. Okay? All right. Good. In other words, the question over here of shmiya is a question in what is considered a din shmiya. Okay, so the Gemara is saying that if it has one source, so then there wouldn't be a din shmiya to that sound. But if it's two different sources, that's enough to give it a din shmiya. Wow. The person can differentiate. He can differentiate. His sense perception of hearing can differentiate between the two. Yeah, then it has a din shmiya. What the Gemara is saying is you hear with your ears and with your mind. Okay. Now, when you hear something, you have to. The mind seeks to find an address for the source. If it hears two sounds and it can trace it back to two sources, then it makes sense and the mind can perceive it. But if we go back to one source, it would be incomprehensible. It would be and that's what the Gemara is saying by Sinai. Sinai was one source, so that would be incomprehensible because you would trace it back to one source. Your mind would be totally confused. You would not be able to perceive it. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That when a person hears, he hears with his ears and with his mind. He has to trace the sound. So he traces the sound, he can trace it to two sources, so then he can perceive it. But if he traces it, trace it back to one source, he can't do it. And the mind is baffled, and the whole phenomenon of hearing is uprooted. Right. That's what he wants to say.
Now everything here,
that's an open puzzle. It's a one-time phenomenon. It's an open puzzle. Kol gadol v'lo yosef. No more. One time. Okay. Okay, we're switching now to the Taisus and Sotah. Lama Tesson Beis. Achi yichla omei mipi atzibur. Go ahead. So the Kohanim can't go back to Berachas Kohanim until the Tzibur gets finished with the omei. All right, so what does they say? Pirushri, go ahead. So by the Batzeh, so the reason why you have to wait for everybody to say omei is because the omei is part of the bracha. So therefore, you shouldn't be Batzeh. They're answering Amen, they're complimenting the bracha. So therefore, you shouldn't eat before the bracha's over. But if people extend the Amen, so that's not right. So that's not part of the bracha, so therefore you could eat. But over here by Berachas Kehanim, even though the people are wrong in extending the Amen, because you shouldn't say an Amen Aruka, right? But nevertheless, there's another problem, because people are going to be saying Amen, and the Kehanim are going to be Mavarach, and Treikol, Lomishtami. That's what Teisa says. That's why Teisa says the difference between here and between Brachas. Okay? Go ahead. Now, what does it mean? Like, let's say he has 2 people occurring, 10 people occurring in Howl. So he has to single out one sound? I mean, and disregard all the other? All the others? It would seem that's not possible. I mean, just plain a... What? So we're back at Kahanam? What?
Rashi says impossible to have 10 guys being exactly.
Where? If they're reading the same thing? Yeah, unless they're trained. That's right. You're right. So even in Megillah, it's not possible. Yeah. So my question is: you're listening to 10 Kahanim. You're isolating one Kayan?
Doesn't that rational seem?
I think you have to lay down one premise. I think that's true. I mean, it's not a halacha. They have to isolate one person. You see, but the question of Shmiah. It's not a question of that particular call. It's a question of perception. See, it's a question of perception. It's not a question of hearing. If it's a question of physically hearing, it doesn't make any sense. But in other words, a sound, a call, is measured by the recipient. Okay, by the perceiver of the call. So there's a certain level of perception. If you have that level of perception, then the call is a din call. So that's why the Gemara says that it's very psychological. Because it depends on the certain conditions where the person is concentrating, so he's on a different level of perception. So then the perception is qualified. You see, then the perception is qualified. It's not a halacha in listening to a specific... Treikol Lomishtami doesn't mean that... Treikol Lomishtami does not mean you can't hear the sounds. It means if it's Treikoli, it's not on a level where you would consider this to be a phenomenon of perception. Okay, it's just an avuvia. It's not a phenomenon of perception. In order to be a kol, it requires a certain level that's defined as having a perceiver. Okay, so that's why the Gemara says that by Hallel, it's not that by Hallel, by Birchas Kehanim, that you have to hear and isolate one Kohen's voice. That's not the halacha, because many hold you need two. I mean, as they say, you need two, actually. I mean, Shnei Kehanim, isn't that mentioned? Yeah, some say one Kohen is not even a deraisa. It's machlekes. So you need 2 Kohanim. So you have to hear them both. You can't isolate and listen to one. But it means that the two together produce a perceivable entity. A perceivable entity. That's what the halacha of Mishtami means. Mishtami means that's considered perceivable. It's a certain level of perception. Okay. So now, what's the machlekes? Which case is the machlekes? There's the machlekes. What?
2 different words. Amen and Berachas Kehanim.
Right. What's the machlekes by shofar and chatzotzros? Whether shofar and chatzotzros are considered 2 different sounds, or whether they're considered 1. Okay. How would you define that machlekes? So Tesis holds that they really consider 2 different sounds. But even though it's but even though 2 different sounds, it's chaviv. And the other Shita holds a what? That 2 different sounds you really can't hear. But so why by shofar and chatzotzros? Because he says that's one. So what's the machlekes? So the machlekes is, do you measure the perceiver in terms as a perceiver in terms of the framework of mitzvah, or you measure the perceiver just in the framework of a listener. You see, if you measure the perceiver in the framework of mitzvah, so then it's one. Of course, in the framework of mitzvah, the perceiver views the shofar and the chatzotros as one phenomenon. So as a perceiver in the framework of mitzvah, it's one. But if you measure the perceiver simply from the framework of sounds, so then definitely it will be defined as two. That's the machlokes rishonim over here. How you define the perceiver?
What's the
two? All right. So, all I'm saying is, I'm just saying that in order to define the teisvus, you have to throw it into a special arena where you see the idea. In other words, namely, if you leave it in the physical, in the world of the physical, you can't explain a machlokes rishonim. It's not possible. But you can't explain the sugya really. But really what the sugya is saying is that trei kol lo mishtami means that there is no level of perception here that qualifies according to halacha. That's what it means. Okay? It doesn't mean you can't hear it. So therefore, if you have 10 kohanim together that are mevarech, okay? So what we're saying is that the 10 kohanim together, given the perceiver of the audience from the framework of their perception, that's considered a call. Okay? They perceive it. Why? Because since it's chavuch, what does chavuch mean? Chavuch means they're on a different level of perception. So it's always measured by the perceiver. Does it make sense to the perceiver? Is it intelligible to the perceiver, so to speak? So
as long as they're in unison.
What?
As long as they're in unison.
No, they don't have to be in unison. Unison, you don't need it. Unison is one sound.
If they're out of sync,
even if they're out of sync, completely out of sync, but the perceiver heard Birchas Kohanim. He heard it. The words are overlapping. They're not in sync. They're not exactly in sync. So what the halacha says is it doesn't matter because you'll have a level of perception for the call. In other words, when they work with, well, what did you hear? I heard howl. That's it. It's a level of perception. It's an abstract level of perception. It's not the sound itself. Was you don't have to listen to one chorus howl. That would be an impossibility. Okay? So, trei kol mishtami means there's no level of perception there. The halacha doesn't recognize this as a level of perception. Okay? So that's why you have machlekes by shofar and chatzotzros, whether that's trei koli or whether that's not trei koli. Because from the standpoint of mitzvah, the perceiver, if you look at him from the framework of mitzvah, so then in that framework, it's one. So it's a different, what Tais is saying is that shofar and chatzotzros are both components, so the mind of the individual, the perceiver, is focused on a different kind of phenomenon. He's focused on a phenomenon of the mitzvah of chatzotzos and shofar. So that perception unifies it. You see? That's what Taisus maintains. Okay? In other words, the nature of the mitzvah changes the perceiver. The fact that he's aware of the mitzvah, that it's b'chatzotzos v'kol shofar, so that changes the perceiver and puts the perceiver in a different framework. That's the machlekes. Is that true or not? You see, the Taisus says no, that will not do it. That the perception of mitzvah won't help you over here, because you have to go by the regular perception. But that's the machlekes rishonim over here. See, that's the crux of the machlokes rishonim. Whether it's not a machlokes of metzias, whether chatzotzos and shofar are different or the same. The machlokes is, since it's all dependent on the perceiver, do I say that the mitzvah sayom creates a different perceiver? That mitzvah itself makes a different perceiver. You see. So for him, it's one. For him, it's one. Or do I say, no, the mitzvah sayom cannot affect the perceiver? You see? That's the machlokes in Tosfos. But it's it's based on the underlying concept of the sugya, which is trei kol lo mishtami, or trei kol lo mishtami is not a physical phenomenon of kol. It's a question of the perceiver. Does this kol lend itself to perception on the part of a receiver? That's the whole sugya. That's the question of sugya. In other words, can you be a dual perceiver? That's the question. Okay? The question is, can there be a duality to perception? Can you be a dual perceiver? So that's a machlokes. So the sheet that it holds are what? That you can be a dual perceiver. They maintain, right, it's going to be two different machlokes, right? One machlokes is going to be, can you be a dual perceiver, right? And then you're going to say that what? That the framework of the mitzvah sayom is not going to make any difference. Two dual perceptions, and the framework of mitzvah doesn't count. And the other sheet that holds that you can't be a dual perceiver, that's not called perception, but the framework of mitzvah will render it a single perception. That's the machlokes. Does the halacha validate perception if it's a dual perception? That's the machlokes. It's not a question we can hear now. It's a question whether the halacha validates everything. Does the halacha say that is a valid perception, a dual perception? Or we say, no, halacha doesn't deal with that. And once there's two perceptions over there, we don't count that as a perceiver.
Either one
is no good. You can't single one out. That's correct. Once it's dual, it's nothing. He's a dual perceiver. He's listening to the Amen, he's listening to that. So he's a dual perceiver is no good. It doesn't qualify as a perceiver. See, if that's not called a perceiver. If his perception is split, that's not defined as a perceiver. That's the machlokes. Okay. That's machlokes. In other words, does the halacha, is that considered a perception? According to halacha, if it's split, it's not a question of whether you can hear it. Of course you can hear it. But it means that's halachically, that's not valid as a perception. Because the perception has two different things. That's not, the halacha doesn't count that as a perception. The gavra is not considered involved. The gavra is not for. See, perception has to do with the halachic level of involvement of the gavra in the thing. There's a certain level you need. That's not called involved because his mind is split in two different ways. So it doesn't qualify as a perceiver. Okay? That's what the Tosfos is saying. That's the Machlokes Rishonim. But from the Machlokes Rishonim, we really see what the sugya is about. It's a question of halachic qualification. Halachic qualification of a perceiver. That's the machlokes.
But it doesn't mean that you can understand which kol it. You don't have to.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, Mendy's question is, by Shomei Kohen, if you have two people that wanted to motzi you, and you heard them both, so, but you didn't hear one particular person, a yotze. So, yeah, you have Rav and Gemara, yotze. Why? Because Megillah, Shomei Kohen. Because you might say Shomei Kohen is different. But Birchus Kohen is not Shomei Kohen. So, but over here, you just have to hear Birchus Kohen. But maybe you'll say, by Shomei Kohen, you have to hear one person. No, the answer is you don't. As long as it was a perception between the two of them, they created a perception. And that's qualified, so then you yotze. That's it. He's asking a question. Aaron's asking a question. Saying, well, why does Rashi say in the Mishnah? Achashapasku Chatzotzos Poskim says Nishma Kol Shofar. So the implication is that he couldn't hear before. No, that's not. But Rashi means you could hear before also. But the reason why he says is Nishma Kol Shofar, he means because in Shofar the Kiyam is in the Shmiya. The Kiyam is in the Shmiya. And the Gemara says, why do you have to have it be Ma'arich? Shem Mitzvah Sayom B'Shofaros. So there must be a Kiyam Shmiya in the Shofar. You understand? No, because it's a special Kiyam Shmiya. A special Kiyam Shmiya that the Mitzvah Sayom is B'Shofar. That was the shofar's marech beyond, and it's and the kol shofar is nishma differently than before, to show you a different kiyum in the shmiya, that the kiyum shmiya of mitzvah sayom b'shofar. That's why the marach. The marach for a separate kiyum shmiya. What's that separate kiyum shmiya? Mitzvah sayom. That mitzvah sayom is b'shofar. Yeah. The sigur follows straight through from the very beginning, from the zochav v'shomar. Masha'inos, and that's how we defined it because of Ellie's question. That it means it doesn't halachically have a din shmiya. Right? Because otherwise, just bring in, make an experiment.
Right. Yeah. But now you're saying that din shmiya is a din of perception.
It's a din of perception. Yeah.
That's
machlekes Hashem. Can a dual perception, is that defined as a perceiver? That's one machlekes. And then the other machlekes is whether the framework of mitzvah can be koveya, a different type of perceiver.
Right. But
by the kol avara has no shaychus to trichol. Because over there it's an extraneous sound. It's like, your birskanim and the air conditioner's running. Say trichol lemishnami. Don't listen to it. If you can hear the birskanim, that's fine. But where you have to produce a halachic phenomenon, so then if you have two kohanim, it means that you're producing, there's no mitzvah, there's no ma'aseh mitzvah, because you're producing intrinsically a kol that's not it doesn't have a din kol. Shekol HaMishnah means intrinsic in the system, it's not kol. So if birchas kohanim lends itself to amen, and intrinsic in the system is that people are saying amen and you have birchas kohanim, so then the system is involved in Shekol HaMishnah. That's an important point. That the Trey Coley sets up the halachic qualification for what is a call. So if in that halachic setup it's Trey Coley, so then there's no halachic phenomenon of call, and it doesn't matter what you heard, it's just not Yotzim. The call is measured by the perceiver. That's how you measure it.